things coming up before the end. No, there won't be. Well, maybe. I don't know. All depends on how the Spirit is going to work in the place tonight. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus." Hallelujah. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This phrase is much more than just a salutation from Peter. See, he sees grace and peace as blessings that spring forth from a knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus. I want you to think about that. How many of you want more grace and peace in your life? How many of you want to see that increase? I heard a few murmurs. I knew that, but I'm sure there were a lot more people agreeing silently. Well, the Bible says this. It says that grace and peace can be multiplied. And I love that word multiplied. It's not just saying you can add some grace and peace to your life. No, it says it can be multiplied. Beyond just getting a little more here, it can be multiplied to you through the knowledge, that is the understanding of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if that's true, and it is, of course, it's in the Bible, think of the possibilities. Just let your mind settle in on that for a moment. If, in fact, knowing God and His Son Jesus can multiply grace and peace in your life. What that means is if you don't have all of the grace and the peace flowing in your life that you think you should have, well, then there's some knowledge of God and of Jesus that you need to grow in. I'm all in favor of growing. When it comes to spiritual life and strength, I look around this room, and I tell you what, we got a pretty good group here. I mean, you're the Wednesday night crowd out on a rainy, cold night just to come and hear the Word of God. That says a lot about you and your spiritual life right there. But you know what? We've not learned everything we need to learn. We don't know everything we need to know yet. Amen? Now, you may know the Bible pretty good, and you probably can quote passages, might even be able to quote them word for word, and yet you may not have the knowledge that this scripture is talking about. See, the Greek word translated knowledge here is a key word in this letter. It describes a special kind of knowledge, a kind that is complete. Knowledge is translated from the Greek word epignosis, and that means full discernment. Full discernment. Since our knowledge of Jesus grows as we mature in the faith, we will experience His grace and His peace on many different occasions, at many different levels through our Christian walk. So you might have that sharp mind for Bible facts and figures, but that sharp mind isn't what we're looking for, because God has not gathered cerebrally. You cannot conquer that knowledge just by a mental exercise, because God is a spirit. Full discernment, this knowledge that Peter is talking about that can multiply grace and peace into your life, that only comes by revelation to your inner man, to your spirit. And God, in His wisdom, He brings that revelation in stages. In stages, a little here and a little more there. It keeps growing. It keeps expanding, keeps adding to our lives. God never gives us everything that there is on any one particular subject at one time. I mean, think about it. If God just wanted to explain to you one simple little aspect of say, I don't know, birds. If he wanted to say, I'm going to tell you and show you everything there is to know and understand about birds. You couldn't handle it. It's too much. It's too expansive, all that God knows. But yet he'll reveal things a little bit at a time as you are able, as you are ready, as you are willing, as you release yourself to him and open your spirit to his prompting and his teaching. So, let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are forever open and ready to reveal to us as we are open and willing to receive from you. And tonight I pray, Lord God, that our hearts and our minds will be open, that by your Spirit you'll be able to impart new revelation to us, new discernment to us, to a greater level, that we might see more grace and more peace continuing to increase in our lives, even being multiplied in our lives. And I pray, Lord God, that as this word comes forth, that you just implant it in such a way that it will bear good fruit in the lives of the people who are here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, we're all at different levels to some degree or another, and we all need to grow in some areas. I'm right along with you there. And you know, the more you grow, the more it takes you outside of that box that you got saved in. Think about that. What kind of a box did you get saved in when you got saved? You know, for me, I didn't have really much of a spiritual background. I got saved in a box that was not really much of a box because I wasn't really part of a church, but it was a church that wasn't at all believing in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was pretty dry and dusty old mainline denominational church that I got saved in. What kind of a box did you get saved in? You know, I know some of you got saved in the box that didn't include speaking in tongues. But what happened? Well, you received a little more, a little deeper knowledge of God, a little more knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you ended up getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And many of you today, even though you were born again in a different box that didn't include that, you have come to that understanding. Hallelujah. Some of you, you know, there are some who were maybe in that old line Pentecostal box. I remember hanging out with some of those folks, and you weren't even saved if you didn't speak in tongues. You know, so maybe you started out there, but you've gotten out of that box to where you understand speaking in tongues is not salvation. Faith is what brings salvation. Amen? Speaking in tongues is a sign of salvation, but it is not salvation, so don't get hung up there. So that's a box that maybe you were born again in, but now have progressed from to some degree or another. Some of you, of course, were, a lot of you probably, were born in again in that box of just mainline denomination. And you've grown. You've received more. And as that revelation comes, as that full discernment comes, you begin a new life. Hallelujah. Before you got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and to the level that you're at now, if you're like me, you couldn't imagine back then that you would go to church more than once a week. I mean, it'd be like Wednesday night? What, you crazy? You would have made fun of anyone who would give 10% of their income to the church. I mean, that's just really going overboard. That's for those Jesus freaks kind of people. That's not us. No. You see, as you increase in the knowledge of God and Jesus, grace, the anointing, the gifting, the blessing, salvation itself, grace and peace, the peace of God is multiplied to you. You know, Pastor Ben brought what I thought was a great word of revelation about freedom last Sunday. A great word about freedom. Now, if you received it, if you allowed the Lord and His Spirit to speak to you concerning freedom, as Pastor Ben spoke of it on Sunday, well then, God's grace and peace is probably even right now being multiplied in your life, and you're sensing new levels of freedom and understanding freedom in a way that you never understood it before. Hallelujah. I tell you, some people who heard that message are beginning to live a new life. We all need to be careful that no matter what level we are at in our Christian life, whatever level we are at in the experience that we have had so far with God, that we not become set in our ways. We need to be careful that we are always open to a fuller discernment. I've seen a lot of people get stalled in their Christian life, in their development, in their growth, because they've just kind of gotten to a part where, well, I kind of know all the rules now, and I have a pretty good understanding of who God is and who Jesus is, and that's good enough right now. And that's it. And you don't see them grow and progress. Oh, they're good Christians. They might be good givers, and they might be very faithful in their service, but they don't grow. I always want to be growing. I always want to see more of who God is. I always want to know a very deep and full revelation of every aspect of the kingdom of God and the life that He has given me. It doesn't come easy sometimes, but that's what I'm shooting for. Now, you always need to be stretching. You always need to be stretching for more of God. Now, who's ready to stretch? Are you ready to stretch tonight? Well, let's go back to our scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll begin reading in verse 2 again, where it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Listen, start to stretch. "As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." Whew. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What part of all things do you not have yet? I'm talking about in the natural sense. I mean, we know He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, but how much of that is manifesting in your life, in your reality? You see, those things that you don't have, that you're not experiencing yet, those things will come with a fuller understanding, a fuller knowledge, a fuller discernment of who God is and His Son, Jesus Christ. And as you become fuller in your discernment, you'll begin to act differently toward the promises of God. You know, it's like when you hear about a promise that's in the Scriptures, and all of a sudden a little light of revelation goes off in the back of your mind, and you now have a new level of faith for it. Have you had that experience in your life where all of a sudden it's just like, wow, I never saw that before? That is something. I'm going to hang my hat on that for a while. I'm going to meditate on that for a while. I'm going to let the Spirit speak to me more and more on that until I have a better and a deeper understanding. In fact, I might even get into my Bible and do some scripture hunt to see if I can find other places that speak of this very promise that I am now starting to get a glimpse of. I tell you what, it is great when we can graduate from theory to reality. Oh, we all know a lot about what the Bible says, and we all know a lot about the promises that He has given. We all know a lot about His grace and His peace, and yet a lot of us are still struggling to get more and more of that, to see it multiplied in our lives. Think of it this way. We need that fuller revelation. Think of it this way. If I took you to the doorway of a darkened dining room, a large dining hall, and I spoke to you and I said, "I put a $1,000 bill on the middle table and it's there just for you." How would you react? A lot of people would react different ways. You know, one of the things they might do is all of a sudden go, wow, that's really great, but it's dark in there. Not sure I want to go that way. Or they'll think, is he telling me the truth? Is there really a $1,000 bill sitting on a table just waiting for me in there? You know, you can go through a lot of this in wondering when you hear a promise that God has given. Well, is that really true? How does that work? I need to see more. Well, what if I then flipped on a light? And then you saw it. You had the revelation. There it is. It's right there in the middle of that dining room on the table. There's a $1,000 bill there. He said, it's for me. What would your reaction be different? Yes, a little fuller discernment, as the word puts it. That makes a big difference in how we react and how we respond. It works the same way with God. When you begin to realize that God is the supplier of everything that we need, that's what it says here in our third verse, when we realize He is the supplier of everything we need, we will begin to act differently. We will react differently to situations that come along. You know, sometimes we have revelation that raises our faith in an area. One common area, healing. You know, you've heard about healing and you've read about healing and you've seen in the scriptures how Jesus did all kinds of healing miracles. But then one day you get a new spark of revelation about healing, and then you can begin and you start to believe for healing and you begin to act differently about healing. It works that way. And then there might be another area. Maybe in the area of sacrifice, you're having a hard time believing and understanding the value and the benefit of sacrifice in your life as a deep revelation from God. Sacrifice is important, and it's a part of the Christian life. Healing is important, and it's a big part of the Christian life. But until you have that deeper revelation, it's just going to be more and more of a theory. It's just going to be hanging out there outside of your reach, somewhere in the darkness that you know it's been promised. It's there, but I'm not sure I understand it. I'm not sure I see it. I'm not sure I can grasp it. I'm not sure I should even go for it. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, again, through what? Knowledge. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. And remember, it's not something that your mental faculties can accomplish. You can't just think your way to it. This fuller discernment comes by way of the Spirit. It happens in your spirit. And for you to experience God's best, it has to happen. Now, I know in this room, we're all spiritual giants here. And when we read this verse, we read verse 3, we are all going, yep, that's right. That's right. All things that pertain to life and godliness, He's given to us. You bet. We agree with it. Well, I'll tell you what, when we believe it in our spirit, well, then we'll start saying it. And when we believe it in our spirit and we start saying it, it won't be long before we'll be acting on it. And when we start acting on it, I tell you what, then we're going to start seeing it manifest in our lives. And again, I'm not talking about a mental assent to the things that we understand as truth in the Scripture. I am talking, you know, we can say what the Bible says all day long. I mean, we can teach a parrot to speak the word in that regard, but it will accomplish nothing. But when we speak the word in faith, it will accomplish everything. There's a difference. When you believe it, you will speak it. And when you speak it, you will begin to act it. And when you speak it and act it, you will eventually see it manifest in your life. I believe that's true. Now, we know God is a healer. If you don't have the full discernment of that when you get sick, well, you'll wonder if God is really a healer or not. Or maybe God just is using this to teach you something. You know, the Bible says God never tempts you with evil. And for me, I think sickness is evil. I do. I think it's from the pit of hell. I don't think that God intended for us to live a life of sickness. I think I could pretty well clear that up through Scripture, but I'm not taking my time on all of that tonight. So when sickness comes, I claim it as evil. When tragedy comes, I believe it's just evil. It's not from God. And if you don't have a full discernment of that, when tragedy comes, you'll get all goofed up. You'll start thinking wrong things. You'll start blaming wrong people, and you'll usually end up blaming God for it. If you don't have the full discernment, this knowledge that we're talking about, well, it gets... I tell you, in trying times, when things get really difficult, that's when people start talking crazy religious stuff. I mean, when you know, well, I think God did that. Or, you know, the one that breaks my heart is when a young child dies for whatever reason, and you hear people say goofy stuff like, well, God just needed another angel in heaven. It's just religious hogwash. God created all of the angels in heaven now. And if he wanted to create a few billion more, it's just a blink of the eye for him to do it. He doesn't need to take your sick child to heaven so that he has another angel. This is all religious goofy stuff. They don't have a full discernment of the character and the love of God. If they did, they wouldn't be speaking such foolishness. And I think you're a much brighter spiritual crowd here. I hope I'm not offending anybody by saying that so bluntly. But we do have to come to a deeper understanding of who God is, or we will just be all messed up. We're never going to get to that fuller level. We're never going to see his grace multiplied or the peace of God multiplied in our lives if we are out in goofy land somewhere. When tests come, for the person who has that deeper understanding, something rises up on the inside of that person. Something rises up on the person who has the knowledge of God, who knows who Jesus Christ is. And when those tests come, they don't try to mold their theology around their circumstances to make that fit. They don't settle for whatever circumstances come their way that are contrary to God's word. What God has expressed in his word, they stand firm for that. They take up the sword of the Spirit, the word of faith, and they begin to go to war. They fight the fight of faith. It's a good fight to fight the fight of faith. They fight for what is true and what is rightfully theirs. I think of David. David was a man who had this knowledge of God. All right, this deeper understanding, this fuller discernment of who God was. Now, he was just a young boy, you know, a teenager at best, when he's out on the back 40 just watching the sheep. He's really a nobody in the land of Israel. He's got brothers. He comes from a halfway decent family, but you know, he's got so many brothers ahead of him. He's not even on the radar screen when it comes to thinking about David as being somebody special, whoever would be somebody special. But he's out on that back 40, and he is tending the sheep, and in that time, he is developing a relationship and getting a discernment, an understanding of who God is, and he's spending time in worship, and he's spending time in prayer. He's spending time within God's nature, and he is absorbing and allowing the Spirit to speak to him. And in this young man, something special is happening. And there is a day when his father has him go as a courier, if you will, to take some supplies to his brothers who are serving in the army, and a little word for the king as well. And he goes and he comes to the camp that the army has has established. And, well, you know the story. There's this big giant that everybody is afraid of. This Goliath guy is spouting off, big hulking galoot, and he's just being an insolent boar, and he's offending the God of Israel. And David can't understand why somebody isn't going in there and taking off his head. It incensed him. He was mad about this whole thing. And he did something. You see, it wasn't that David was skilled as far as a warrior was concerned. There were plenty of skilled warriors all around him. They could have been the ones to step forward. You know, there was plenty of incentive for them. I mean, just think about it was a pretty risky business to go up against a giant. But I mean, think about what you could have gained. You would be wealthy. You would automatically become the most famous guy in all of Israel. And you get to marry the king's daughter. You would marry into the royal family. I tell you, back in those days, it didn't get any better than that. So there was plenty of incentive for everybody else to jump in, and I guess David could have looked at that and thought that was a great incentive too, but I tell you what motivated him was not what he might gain, but it was that he had a relationship with God. He understood who God was, and he decided something needed to be done, but nobody would believe in him. But what made the difference for David, what brought about the victory was he had a knowledge of God, this deeper discernment that we're talking about. He knew that God had killed a bear using him. And he knew that God had killed a lion using him. See, he had a knowledge of who God was and what God could do in the life of a believer. And he spoke victory and he acted on it and he got victory. He got victory. I mean, he had nothing. You know, he didn't have armor to go to battle in. Saul loaned him a set of armor, but it just wasn't going to work. I mean, this scrawny little kid couldn't even really hold himself up in the armor. That wasn't going to work. He didn't even have much of a weapon. He didn't even have the stones that he used to actually kill Goliath. He picked those up on the way to the battle. If we can get an understanding, that knowledge, that full discernment of what God has already provided for us, when the devil tries to take it from us, when he tries to keep it from us, we won't stand for it. We'll get aggressive. We might even get violent in the spiritual sense, right? An attitude will rise up in us like it did in David, and we'll say, I know in whom I have believed. I know who this God that I serve is. Now, when I say us, I'm including you in this. I'm including you. Something will rise up in you, and you will refuse to bend. You will refuse to bow down. You will refuse to compromise. You will refuse to accept anything less than God's best. Hallelujah. You'll start talking like the Apostle Paul did in Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite passages, Romans 8, 38 and 39. This is what Paul said. He said, I am persuaded. How did he have that persuasion? He had a deeper revelation. He had that fuller knowledge. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Anybody here afraid of something? Listen. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Will you stretch enough to hold on to that by faith? Will you believe that word? Holy Spirit, give us understanding. Deepen our understanding. Deepen our discernment of what that truly means. It is about the love of God that has been demonstrated and his desire for you to be provided for. It's all been shown to us in the Word. If you don't have a knowledge of the Lord, that epignosis, that full discernment, when you come up against those challenges, you will settle. You will suffer. You will bend. You will compromise. And most people will put a religious explanation on it. Yeah, I don't know what it is about human nature. You know, as when trouble comes, it seems like the least spiritual people try to come up with spiritual answers. And when they do, they're almost always wrong. And they're just flat out wacky, things that they come up with. People without a knowledge of God will always be waiting for something else to come along. So, you know, we talk about what David didn't have. That didn't stop him. But there are so many of us who right now know there is a calling on our life, but we're waiting for something. You know, for the non-spiritual person, they're just waiting for their ship to come in. You know, well, someday it's all going to get better and maybe I'll win the lottery. And when that happens, well, then I'll do all the great things I'd like to do. Some people are waiting for their circumstances to change. Some people are waiting for the kids to grow up and be out of school, and then we'll really get busy for the Lord, or vice versa. You know, there's all kinds of reasons we can state as why we're just not moving ahead. Now's not the right time. What if David would have said that? Yes, Lord, I understand that you could use me to solve this situation, but I do have those sheep back at home, and my brothers aren't really being kind to me. When they're kinder to me and I don't have the responsibility of those sheep, then I'll get involved in this. Then I'll join the army. When the army gets a little braver and they're willing to back me up, then I'll go after Goliath. When they finally invent the Gatling gun, then I'll take on that giant. We can always make up all kinds of reasons why now is not the right time. I wonder how many people were thinking, you know, I think it'd be cool to be a missionary to Spain when Pastor Ben was talking about it. But then you start thinking, well, but I still have to do this, and what would this, you know, how would I take care of that? I'm telling you, David wasn't wasting any time. David didn't look for any reason to delay. I mean, he ran toward the giant. People who know something about God get a spiritual urgency about them. You can't quiet them down. You can't hold them back. They are just raring to go. Why? Not because they just have more energy than you. Not because they just are foolish and are willing to jump off into nowhere land. No, because they have a deeper understanding of God and His Son Jesus. They understand that He has already provided everything that's necessary for life and godliness. They understand that He is more powerful than any force that they might encounter. They understand that He will provide whatever is needed if you follow through with what He has called you to. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor or a layman. It doesn't matter if you're a senior citizen or a teenager. Those kind of people, they're going to go for their giant. They're not waiting around. Where others are intimidated, where others are backing off, I tell you what, faith people are going forward. Faith people are going forward. I'm including you in this again too. Faith people are going forward. How many times do we have to say it? You have a destiny. God is calling you and He's equipping you to do work that you are ready to do. Or maybe you just need a little more of that discernment, a little further understanding. Maybe you're just one message away from taking off. one verse away, that verse that just strikes you the right way, and you go, oh God, now I see it. One revelation away from getting that deeper level of discernment. You might just be from fulfilling your destiny, or at least beginning the charge to fulfill your destiny. You might just be one knowing away from that. David may have been the only one in the entire nation of Israel at that time that knew God in that way. I mean, it seems the rest of the army didn't know diddly. They had no deeper knowledge of God. They knew the name, but they certainly didn't understand what God had provided and what God was able to do with a person of faith who would take up the cause of God. And you know what? Even though they didn't know, it didn't keep them quiet, did it? They were more than happy to tell David, don't be foolish. You can't do that. Why are you being such a braggart? Go home. Go tend to the sheep. Go away. Those are the kind of people that you will encounter when you finally get that deeper revelation, because not everybody is at that level. Hallelujah. I got a bunch more, but I'm just going to let that slide. I want to leave you with that thought about David. Again, it is great when we go from theory to reality in our lives. For all that we know, for all that we think we understand, and yet for how little we really experience it, that ought to give us some incentive to say, okay, I need to get deeper into this. There's got to be more here. I understand what the Word is saying. I understand the power of God. I just don't see it manifesting in my life. I don't feel that level of grace and that level of peace in my life. Well, it can be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God, that deeper discernment of God and Jesus, our Lord. A fuller discernment of God, of Jesus, our Lord, who is going to turn all of the theory into reality. Expect it to come little by little, step by step, but you got to keep stepping in the right direction. Amen? You got to have a little bit of hunger for this, or you'll never get it. That low-hanging fruit is just going to fall off the tree and it's going to fade away. You won't get it. You got to have some hunger. You've got to make some effort. But I tell you, when you do, when you decide, I'm going for it like David did, you'll see victory. You'll sense that grace. That peace will be on you. I don't see, you know, in that story of, I'm going to just start rambling now, but in that story with David going after Goliath, I don't see any hint of fear in David. How can that be? He knew God. He knew God to the degree that there was just no way that this wasn't going to work out on God's behalf. So we have to get to that point. Maybe we need to all get our own little herd of sheep and hang out in the back 40 in the night times and sing songs to God. And if it would work, I'd be in favor of it. Some of us have other things to do, but we all can still continue to pursue God. Amen? Lord, I pray for your discernment. Not for worldly knowledge, not for just mental ability. Lord God, I pray for a knowledge, an understanding, a deeper discernment that shakes our very spirit, that wakes us up, that opens the great possibilities of the destiny that you have for us in such a way that we can't help but go for it. That we get so excited, we can't just wait, we can't sit back, that we have to move ahead. Lord, help that level of discernment enter into our hearts, into our spirits. Let it be manifesting that multiplied grace and peace in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go do something. Amen. Now I'm all churched up. I want to go do something for God. All right. God bless you. Thank you for coming. If you need prayer, by all means, we are here. We'll be happy to pray with you. Even if it's just for what you think is a little thing. You know, sometimes I think there's a lot of prayer that goes unprayed because we think, well, I don't want to bother anybody. Don't let that be the case. Have some faith.